Welcome to another Buzz Marketing for Technology podcast. I'm your host, Paul Dunay, publisher of the blog. Today, I'm speaking with the Information Week Power Trio, consisting of Bob Evans, Senior Vice President and Editorial Director for CMP's Business Technology Group, Stephen Willman, the Editorial Director of Email Newsletters for the Tech Web Network within CMP, and Tom Smith, Editor-in-Chief of the Tech Web Network. Okay, so Stephen, welcome to the podcast. So,
thank you. It's good to be here.
So tell me a little bit about the role blogging plays for you personally at Information Week.
Well, as a blogger with Over the Air, part of my job is to engage the Information Week audience on topics about business mobility and wireless technology in general. And that can range from a post about something as really specific as about how to leverage push email or mobile CRM inside an organization to a discussion of something as broad as the iPhone. Thanks to something called the consumer effect, which is where consumer adoption kind of impacts the habits of businesses and how they use technology, mobility has really become kind of this huge shifting playground for business IT organizations. But that's to a large degree because many employees have traditionally brought in their own devices and even their own service plans from their own carriers and contracts into their organizations and have, for the last several years, been accessing their email and other types of data on devices that they themselves may own. Now that that's changing and organizations are getting more strategic about mobility, it's still difficult to sort of juggle that balance, especially as employees themselves have become accustomed to using different types of technologies. So that's really what we're doing with the blogs. We're attempting to kind of engage these IT managers and CIOs in a discussion and a dialogue about this changing landscape and let them really give us a lot of voice. And one of the things that I find about the blog is not just that we're talking to them, but that it's a real conversation and it's a very different type of experience than traditional news reporting. And our audience is very engaged and actually really wants to talk about these topics from across the board.
Now, I love the idea of it being a conversation, and you know, I'm looking at it from my listeners' point of view, which is these are mostly B2B technology marketers, and they're looking to get their views, or at least their company views or thought leader views included in this. So, you know, what would your advice be about how a technology marketer should look to plug into, you know, what you're doing on the blogs within Information Week?
Well, if a blog is a conversation, and I definitely think that Eric Zeman, my colleague, and I have definitely been engaging in a conversation with the Information Week readers and even people outside of the traditional Information Week universe and the wireless industry have been looking in as well. If they want to engage in that conversation with us and with the readers, I think they have to sort of think about it as joining a conversation. Traditional path that marketers would take to get their message out to journalists would be to come from a kind of top-down command control perspective, right? Let's come up with a message. Let's communicate that message, and let's make sure that message is, you know, sent to everyone the same way. I don't know that works in blogging as well. I found that the marketers and the PR people that I've worked with best have been the ones who realize that this is a conversation and send me things the way that you would bring up a point in a dialogue or in a broader kind of conference discussion. And by that, I mean these people are not just trying to message their company, but just sort of messaging themes. They might even point out stories or articles or other blog posts to me that really have nothing to do with their company, as shocking as that may sound, because it's a dialogue, right? And when you're having a conversation, you don't always just talk about yourself. You talk about everyone. I think that's the real key here. Then that's the key difference. If you want to be included in the conversation, act like it's really a conversation, and don't just always keep the focus on yourself, but on all the topics that surround your areas of interest.
Sure, great. That's a good point. So shifting gears a little bit, you know, let's move over to Bob. Bob, as you know, IT does matter, and I loved your article on that lately. But what about Web 2.0 apps? You know, it seems to me that these apps are sneaking in the back door of IT, primarily by the marketing guy, myself included. Is that an issue?
Well, what the interesting side of that is, it's sort of you got to look hard at this idea of the classic definition here. You know, what is IT? And if we think of it as from the 1980s and 1990s, and certainly before that, you know, the raised floors, the cooled mainframes, the guys who didn't really have any connection with the business, yeah, that can be a jarring interruption there. I think that where the best companies are separating themselves from the also-rans and the companies that are just not going to be able to compete in the 21st century is on exactly what you're talking about. Does the IT organization or the business technology organization eagerly embrace and reach out and be seen as a champion for these new types of technologies rather than trying to erect impediments and roadblocks and saying, oh, no, no, we don't do it that way. That, you know, we can't change. You've got to take those toys and put them off to the side. So the best companies, I think, are eagerly wading into this and trying to see how can we create more customer value and increase customer loyalty, you know, through the use of these applications.
Totally agree. So, you know, with that in mind, how should a marketer approach Web 2.0 and the CIO so they don't create a strained relationship? You know, I think the issue is some of this stuff is just so inexpensive to begin with, but it has a long-term impact for the CIO, and it's kind of like, hey, thanks, guy, for starting all that up for me. Now I get to take over your mess and, you know, continue to run it. So is there a good approach, or, you know, have you seen any or heard any approaches out there that other marketers should be thinking about?
Well, Paul, one thing, there's still a little bit of an echo sometimes from the dot-com days that come through some of this, and some of the Web 2.0 technologies are being brought out with terms or expectations or messages that don't really focus on customer value. Instead, it's about, you know, some goofball name, and, or, you know, it'll allow you to do things that aren't really relevant, but they're different. And so I think the successful marketer in driving the Web 2.0 applications into an enterprise is going to continue to focus on the key ideas of, you know, customer value, customer attention, customer loyalty, a greater experience for the customer, because the people they're selling to, their prospects and customers in the IT organizations, are being told now, we've had enough of IT as a cost center. You guys have to help us drive revenue. You've got to increase profits. You've got to make us better and of higher value with our customers. So the temptation sometimes is, I think, to veer off into the esoterica of, you know, what the cool underlying technology is that allows this or that to happen. And that's important at some level, but it's not nearly as important of trying to sell the value. You know, why is this important? Why do we want to bring this in? Why should we be willing to shift around some pretty deep-seated processes here? Because you've got a technology that promises to help us do things better for customers.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, Tom, you know, I know you spent years in newspapers and dailies. You know, what's your view on where the newspaper, sort of the offline paper-based business is heading these days from a publishing perspective?
Well, I don't subscribe to the view, which is somewhat popular out there today, that newspapers and print publishers have no future, that or that people do not want material content delivered in print. However, I do feel that those publishers that do not embrace and make really aggressive moves into the online media, I don't think they'll have a strong place in the future. So that can mean a couple of things. One, behaving and operating in a much more online-centric way, more real-time information, more interactivity, more blogging, as Stephen articulated, embracing the better and more valuable Web 2.0 technologies. But I think it can also mean that they need to improve and modify and behave differently in print. They have to, I think, take advantage of and play to the strengths of the print medium. That can mean more thought out, more thought-provoking content, more bulletproof content, where web content and blogs sometimes tend to have a very fast-paced and iterative quality to them. They get updated as they go along. So print still has some distinct advantages in that way, and I think newspapers and print publishing organizations really need to play to that. And I also think they cannot make decisions on an either-or basis or set their strategy on an either-or basis. They have to do things well in print and online and recognize the very distinct differences between the two media.
Mm. So, you know, as my listenership of technology marketers, should they be thinking of any new innovative type of things around advertising in print, or, you know, are there maybe examples of something that you've seen from a technology perspective that, you know, kind of makes you stop and say, hey, that's good. Is there an example that we should be drawing from?
Well, I'm not sure I'm in the best position to talk about advertising strategies and what works, but I think I can address it from the standpoint of how people still use print and where print still adds value, and maybe the listeners can draw some conclusions based on that. And I think the core strengths of print are that it has a longer shelf life than online content. People tend to hang on to it longer. They tend to, I think, spend a little bit more time with print. They tend to sit down, read what's in there, think about it. And that's not necessarily the way things work online. And I still think we have a fair amount of indicators that the highest level technology executives, CIOs, for example, are not necessarily the voracious consumers of online content that, let's say, some of their staff are. So I think the highest level tech executives remain a core part of the audience of print. They still use print. They still spend time with it. So that's certainly an audience that I think marketers can reach through print media.
Hey, Paul, this is Bob. May I jump in on that real quick?
Yeah, please.
We've spent a lot of time trying to understand that. What would be the, as Tom has laid out there very nicely, what's the value to the reader? What's the value to the marketer as well? And I think as we move through the different formats, we look at the print product as something the Information Week magazine defines and frames the business technology objectives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are these key, you know, high-level topics and issues that have to be dealt with here? And as Tom said, people often will give a little more time because it's their habit toward print, you know, high-quality stuff that draws them in. So it defines and frames the business technology objectives. They move online often for news, analysis, expertise, where we can offer some in-depth perspective, and often we describe this in terms of immersion and education online. For people in the IT organizations who need to define short lists and evaluation criteria, we've got, you know, technology and vendor analysis, which is the next step. And then for people who really want to take the deep dive into that and, you know, get the analyst-level take on it, we've got the real-world IT analytics, where actually we are making recommendations in the context of someone's business about the products and services that they should be pursuing there. So, you know, against that, we've got the sites, some of which are vertical by technology, some are vertical by audiences, and the overall philosophy of this is not to talk about how great we are, but rather to say this is truly a time when you've got to be able to deliver to audiences what they want, when they want it, how they want it. And that could then in turn create opportunities for marketers who are able to, you know, segment people by audience, by technology type, by the stage in the purchase process that that individual is in as well. Early on through the print side, and then all the way down through the analytics on the deep level online.
Okay. So how does blogging affect your the cover of the magazine, let's say, across platform between online, video, you know, events? I mean, where does in which direction is the media heading, I guess, is really the question, right? Is it coming from that direction? Is it coming from all directions? Is it coming, you know, is still in the same direction it was in the past? I mean, where does the inspiration for some of this come from? And that's really anybody who wants to take a shot at that.
Yeah, this is Tom. I'll jump in on that.
Okay.
I think one of the great values of blogging, and I think Stephen touched on this well when he referred to it as a conversation, and I think your question is really, how does blogging affect the overall media strategy, or the overall content strategy, perhaps, of the brand? And I think what blogging gives us is a unique ability to understand what readers' hot buttons are. As we've all discussed here, we tend to get very detailed and very extensive feedback on blogs, and that really gives us a finger on the pulse, if you will, of what readers are thinking about and what their critical problems are that they're dealing with in their companies. So the blog gives us an ability to really respond to them better across news coverage, across analytics coverage, as Bob laid out, really new and unique visibility into what readers are dealing with day in and day out that we didn't necessarily have before.
Yeah, and Stephen, please jump in on this as well here, because I think, Paul, in addition to what Tom said there, what the blogs, the best bloggers break the rule of what was sort of media 1.0, which is, hey, if I get you inside the pages of my magazine, you know, I'd never want you to leave. So we're going to try to box you in. And the online 1.0 for news organizations was, remember to talk about stickiness. You want to keep people in there. Well, blogs have really helped to blow that up, because what if an audience, a reader, person doesn't want to stay on your site? What they'll value a blogger for is pointing that reader outward. So we've had to flip this model. Instead of, you know, command and control from the media company, it's instead saying, I know you're interested in all facets of this topic. I've got a few good perspectives to offer, but I'm going to point you outward to some over here and here and here and here. And I think Stephen Wellman in particular has been doing a great job of that with a lot of his blogging, where he will actively push readers out to other sites, regardless of who might be presenting that information. Right, Stephen, is that part of your strategy?
Yeah, I mean, it's a couple of things. I mean, first things, you know, the blog is a gateway, it's a portal, and people are coming to blogs for leadership and guidance and opinion, not just for news sourcing. And so they want to know not only what you think is important, but where you find important items on the web, and they want you to point them in that direction. And it seems really counterintuitive that pointing out to content on other websites would actually lead to more traffic for you, but it actually does. And some of our best traffic blog posts are ones that point outward to other sites that kind of break the old thinking and really blow up that sort of model. But blogs, again, aren't just about opinion pieces, and they're not just about linking out, though they're definitely both of those things in spades. I mean, a blog can also be a way to break news, but you can break it in ways that perhaps you never broke it before. You can break it in a more personal way, or you can break it in a mode of coverage that wraps it in a lot more thought and analysis and opinion, and there's a real value in that too. I really love watching the ways that our blogs might cover a news piece versus the way that our news sourcing covers it. It's great to get both of those perspectives, and I definitely think that our readers are beginning more and more to rely on being able to see multiple perspectives, one, being able to get the straight news source, and then being able to actually see what one member of our staff or two members of our team actually think about that. That's where the real value comes in. Again, it's that conversation point. It's a guidance model, and it's a leadership model. We're no longer allowed as reporters to just kind of stand outside of the party and watch. We have to participate at times too, and that can be a little scary at times.
Yes,
but it's a lot of fun.
A little crazy out there.
Yes.
Paul, you know, you had asked, too, in part of your question about the impact on cover stories. So mm-hmm. You look at the Information Week organization now. It used to be that you sort of had the online team was over here, and, you know, we're going to drive things according to what the traffic metrics show and what history shows, you know, this, and this is going to be important. And then sort of over on the other side of a wall was the print organization, and they say, well, we're going to do stuff here because, you know, we've got a history and a legacy, and we think that people want cover stories that do this or this. So what Tom Smith and Rob Preston and others have really done extremely well over the past year or so is to say that's just not an effective way to run this. Like there's two separate entities here. Instead, there's one organization that is creating a 24-hour flow of information that goes out to people. Some of it is in blogs. Some of it's in online news stories. Some of it's in features. Some is being planned for events or podcasts or other things. But ultimately, with this, you know, huge magazine with a great readership, great success, they've got to take and leverage some of the greatest things that are going on from the online team. So very often it is a blog subject that really hits a nerve out there, that exposes some new ways of thinking and new opportunities, and the cover stories more and more are being influenced by that, and very often they're enriched by the 5 or 6 or 7 day cycle of coverage that a blog story inspires an online news story. We get feedback from readers and say, hey, that's pretty good, but you don't know the half of it. You ought to look over here. So by the time the weekly news or the weekly magazine cover story comes out, it's much richer because it's sort of been put through this cooking process that goes through the week, gets more the Web 2.0 audience, user generation, or user-generated content into it. And it's a very different feel now, but it's something that editorial leaders these days, content leaders, have to be able to balance those two.
You know, what is really important to me, and which is really why I'm very pleased to have you all, you know, on the podcast, is, you know, as a, you know, let's say micro publisher, if you will, you know, not just with my blog, but you know, with our company, and I think most tech companies and most companies today are becoming somewhat of a publisher, you know, in how they go to market, especially if you're doing something like selling services where you sell people and you sell thoughts and ideas, and you know, we're all kind of headed down that path. And what's especially pleasing for me is to have you guys on the phone, because you guys are really the leading edge. What you're wrestling with today is what, you know, I'll be wrestling with, you know, in my work life tomorrow, or, you know, soon thereafter. So I'd like to thank each one of you guys, Bob, Steve Wellman, Tom Smith. It's great to have you, and appreciate all your input. I think you've uncovered some gems for us here, and I would say that the listeners should really, you know, pay attention to what these guys are doing. You know, what Bob was talking about breaking down the silos and the sharing of content, and allowing that to flow back and forth between different areas. That's really probably what most of us are thinking out there today.
Well, thank you for the kind words.